Mother's Day is a time to celebrate the wonderful women in our lives. However, different people have different perceptions, different perspectives, different feelings about today, about holidays like Mother's Day. For some of you, this day is extremely emotional and sad. You're reminded of someone you've lost, someone that should be celebrated and be here with you today. Your heart aches for the loss of a child through miscarriage or even later in life. You're reminded of struggles with infertility. As these women toast other moms around them with smiles and sweet words, inside they remember the gut-wrenching loss that they felt. They can't help but feel bitter or angry at the desire that is currently unfulfilled or that remained unfulfilled. For some of you, today is filled with joy and thankfulness. We love and are extremely thankful for our moms and the other motherly figures in our lives. Yes, we've experienced the loss of grandmothers and other very influential women in our lives, but as the years have gone on, the sadness becomes easier, the grief more manageable, and we finally have arrived at a place where we can truly celebrate who they were and what they meant to us. For some of you, it is filled with raw emotion that you just won't allow yourself to tap into. Family celebrations such as Mother's Day only highlight the strained relationships within your family. You desperately wish that you could be together celebrating, but too much has happened. Too many harsh words have been said. Forgiveness seems impossible. The only thing your heart is filled with is sadness. The way we approach each and every day is shaped by the way that we perceive the circumstances we currently find ourselves in. Our perceptions and our attitudes about life mold the memories and shape how we feel and even treat others. That is why if you look back over your life, over all the Mother's Days, the Father's Days, the Christmases and birthday celebrations, some years are great, some years are difficult, and others you just really don't remember that well. Undoubtedly, we've celebrated from different perspectives over the years. We have fallen into multiple, if not all, of the categories that I shared and many more. That is life, after all. Constantly moving, things changing, people coming and people going. Our perspective, our mindset, our outlook on life, it varies day to day and year to year. However, what I've witnessed over the years is that certain situations affect different people differently. And that really highlights the point that we have a choice in how we choose to react when life hits. Today, I'd like for us to look at some advice that Paul gave the Philippians and to us today. Chapter 4 is Paul's final advice, and it begins with this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That's something that I really wish people could say about me, but I don't think anybody could honestly say that. We've all most likely encountered those special angels that are here on earth. They're those really great people who just have this glow about them. The people that nothing seems to shake. These are the people who literally fill you with the Holy Spirit when you're around them. It's just something about their souls, their hearts, their demeanor. It just draws you in. They're always positive, no matter what is happening around them. Well, in hearing personal testimonies from a few of these angel people that I've met along the way, the truth is their lives are filled with just as much heartache as the next person. The difference with these happy, always positive people is that they have chosen how they want to react. They've continuously decided to have a positive outlook and not let certain situations steal their joy. Because life will hit. We have a choice in how we let it affect us. Today being Mother's Day, I couldn't help but think about a time in my life where I didn't have a good attitude. A time in my life of darkness, anger, resentment, and depression. Oddly enough, it was supposed to be one of the happiest times in my life. Prior to JB being born, I had this moment of what his birth was going to be like. It built up in my mind. My cuddly little baby would be lying in my arms, and people would come and see him, and ooh and ah. I'd pass him around and then get him back. And this, as the day approached, my dreams for what this picture-perfect moment was supposed to look like, it consumed my every thought. Then one night, I was asleep, and I had a very vivid dream. My meemaw, my mamama, who had passed away a few years before, as well as Jimmy's grandparents, who passed away when he was a little boy, they all came to me in this dream, and they said, "It will be okay. We are with you." The perception that I had of this dream was one of pure elation. In my mind, this confirmed the picture-perfect moment that I was about to have. So we got up, left for the hospital, and as soon as our parents arrived from South Carolina, I shared with them how I had been woken from this amazing dream to discover it was time to go meet JB. To make a 26-hour story very short, I'll just share that as rocky as things became, I still clung to this dream. It's going to be picture perfect. You're going to get your sweet little baby. Everything's going to be amazing. And unfortunately, in his birth story, if it could go wrong, it did. The picture perfect moment that I was longing for did not happen. The perception my mom had of this dream changed in an instant. What first brought about tears of joy at the thought of her mother being there with her daughter during the birth of her first grandchild was just amazing to her. But as she waited in the waiting room, heard screams throughout the hospital of code something, watched teams of people fly into my room, equipment rushed into my room, the perception of her dream, of my dream, brought about feelings of panic and fear. She later shared that in that instant, she thought that her mom was coming to either take JB or me to heaven with them. Perception is something that can also change in an instant. I was still desperately trying to cling to this dream as it being positive. Just like my mom, I was beginning to lose faith. Going back to Paul, we can see that perception is something that he chose to have despite his circumstances, a positive perception. Now, I know he is an apostle. However, just remember that he was an ordinary man, just like you and me. And as he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. The circumstances in his life were, well, not that great. Putting myself in his shoes, I wonder if I could ever say, "Rejoice," I say it again, rejoice, while facing what he was facing. However, Paul continues in verses 6 through 9 and says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I wish that my faith would have taken over in the aftermath of JB's birth. Due to the hectic circumstances surrounding his birth, our time in the hospital was spent wheeling back and forth between my room and the NICU every 3 hours for a short visit, and that was it. When we were released and sent home, I had no clue what I was doing. Somebody else had dressed him, somebody else had changed his diapers, somebody else, wonderful nurses who we came to love and adore, but somebody else, not me, not Jimmy, they had JB's early moments. They had his first days, and I felt robbed. My perception of that dream had turned to one of absolute rage at God. I felt that he had dangled this promise of protection through my dream and in my face, only to be a big, mean bully and yank it away and watch me squirm. Clearly, we know that's not how God works, but that's how I felt, being totally honest. I was angry. I pouted with God for weeks. I refused to pray. I refused to come to church. I refused to read my Bible. However, this verse in Philippians actually kept coming back to my mind. In hindsight, I realized that it was the Holy Spirit gently pushing my heart, pulling me back in, helping me understand. But in the moment, when I remembered this verse, I did what so many people do. I read out of it what I wanted it to say, rather than what this verse actually says. I read out of it And I saw this verse in my mind and I believed it to mean, ask God and get what you want. What I wanted was perfection. What I wanted was easy. However, if I had really paid attention to this verse, read it closely, I would have seen that it's not a blanket promise to get any and everything that you want out of life. First of all, Paul highlights the importance of letting go of the anxiety and instead having a heart that is grateful. When we pray, sometimes I fall into this routine of ask, 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 without ever paying attention to the answers that we receive, much less thanking God for answering our prayers. The reason is it is so important to thank and praise God for our blessings is because, well, He is, of course, due all honor and all respect, but also selfishly, because it reminds us of His faithfulness. It reminds us of the love that He has for us, of the protection that He's provided our whole lives. When we thank God for answering our prayers that we've had in the past, it highlights the fact that He always answers. Paul is saying, stop being anxious about what you're going through right now and remember that He's answered every prayer you've ever had. He has been faithful to you, so just relax. Enjoy His peace. Now I can hear the but waits. I asked for such and such and it did not happen. God answered my prayer in the completely opposite way that I asked. Well, that is where you have to have faith that His will and His plan is always greater, even in those difficult moments when you can't see it. Paul says to focus on the goodness of God, how He's been faithful to you in the past with a heart of gratitude. That'll ease your anxiety. And then he goes further to say, and then that is when the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will be able to guard your hearts and your minds. Even when you cannot see Him at work, even when you don't like the answer, if you prayerfully seek Him, God can give you a peace, a genuine peace that truly is not of this world. He will give you peace as you wait. He will open your eyes to see the why, and He will allow you to see that He doesn't just say no, but maybe He offered something even better. And when the answer is the opposite of what you asked for, He gives you peace to understand that He is in control, that He loves you, and He always has your best interest at heart. Fred shared of the peace that Sally had in her final days, and we could all say that God's answer to their prayer, our prayers of healing, went unanswered, that Fred and Sally were given the opposite of what they wanted. Yet, through all of that, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that those two had peace. How? Why? Well, I've shared before, it has nothing to do with the fact that Fred was a pastor. Sally never wanted to be a pastor's wife, so it had nothing to do with that for her. They had the same choices, the same life circumstances hit them that you and I have. And while Fred would tell you he doesn't always agree with Paul, he would definitely say that these words he trusted. He took this advice to heart, especially in the last few years. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I'm trying to figure out, how does God meet you in your reality? How does God give you peace as you're crying alone in your car or you're sobbing into your pillow at night? When we choose to focus on His goodness, the promises that He's given us, to reflect and remember all of the times that He carried you through, that is when you can find that peace again. It's when we choose to dwell on the worry, when we choose to dwell on the, well, what ifs, We choose to replay that fight in your mind over and over again. When you set your mind on those things, of course, the anger will return to your heart, the sadness will resurface. But Paul highlights that you have a choice. We can meditate on our circumstances in anger. We can refuse to forgive. We can allow ourselves to play the if-only game and blame God. Or we can choose to focus on His word, His peace. If you want that peace to enter your heart, your mind, your life, you have to get out of your own way and allow Jesus in. When you write sermons week after week, some of them flow and they just have this beautiful way about them. The words are nice, they just make sense in your head, and boom, you're done. But then others, like the one I wrote for today, it's just a little bit jumbled. And I'm coming to learn that there is something about that office back there. The Holy Spirit works in mighty ways in this entire place. But when I'm sitting in that room, He lays things on my heart that are amazing and wonderful and sometimes hard. And sometimes, like right now, He lays things on my heart that I don't really understand. I guess this is the asterisk moment that Fred used to talk about. So I really don't know why, but all week the Holy Spirit kept laying this one truth on my heart that He needed me to share this morning, because He knows who is sitting in these blue chairs. He knows the condition of your hearts and mine. And His message was simple. You have to forgive. Holding on to past hurt, holding on to grudges against people who have hurt you, all you're doing is preventing Jesus from entering your heart. You're only hurting yourself. Take it from somebody who had a lot of things that went left unsaid with her brother. Thankfully, I had somewhat made peace with him before he died, but there was still some lingering anger and hurt. Our last conversation was one of annoyance. I was frustrated, and I didn't believe his empty promises. I remember hanging up the phone and kind of feeling guilty. But then I validated the way that I felt, that he was the one that caused the problems between us, the way I had spoken to him, thinking of course, you know, I'll ask him to forgive me and I'll forgive him the next time we talk. And unfortunately, the next phone call that came was the one that brought me to my knees in my kitchen. I've obviously forgiven a lot since that day in January. All the arguments, the frustrations, all of the hurt feelings, my stupid pride. It all seems so trivial. The Holy Spirit wanted me to share that although I'm not really ready to face all the feelings myself yet, for me it was too late. But for one of you, all of you, it's not too late. Jesus just wanted me to tell you, don't wait. Don't let another day, another holiday slip through your fingers. Today could be that day of reconciliation. You could be the changing force that unites your family for the first time in years, maybe decades. Whatever hurt or pain is holding you back, stop meditating on that. Choose instead to focus on the truth. Choose to focus on the promise that Jesus loves you. He cherishes you, and He wants the absolute best for you and your family. Allow Him to take over your heart, to drive out the anger and the hurt and the resentment, and replace them with His truth that truly is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Amen.